Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
All right, this is like the opening act for the headliner, which is, of course, Aaron Rodgers practicing currently. We already have some Steelers media sending out pictures and videos and being forced to delete them because they've broken Steelers minicamp practice protocol. And we have Oakmont. The U.S. Open here, the epicenter of the sports world, is Pittsburgh right now. And with that, too, is T.J. Watt, who, to the surprise of many, did not show up today. I say that because Steelers reporters were texting me. This is the time they expected T.J. Watt to talk today about showing up for mandatory minicamp. So they were thrown off by this. Malzi is back after playing competitive golf for money yesterday. Did you win any?
No. Well, my team won a team skin. Does that count?
Was there money exchanged?
Yeah,
you did. Congratulations on all your success.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I'm saving how the round exactly went for me for the hodgepodge here, and also one of the connections that the pro in my group had to 93.7 The Fan. It was very funny, but I'm very glad to be back in the chair across from you, Pony.
And Donnie is here as well after filling in for Starkey and Pomp partially yesterday. So this is TJ Watt holding out. This is not a hold-in. This is him just straight up not showing up and making a point that he is frustrated and upset with the way negotiations have gone. I don't know how anybody could say this is no big deal because he's doing things differently. And let's just go with the evidence we have. We've got a peace sign on Instagram from him. We've got his brother repeatedly expressing anger over how the Steelers have handled negotiations on McAfee's show. And now we have this. This doesn't strike me as business per usual, because it's not. So he's obviously annoyed by the state of things. I would expect the Steelers eventually to cave in and capitulate to him. But at this very second, there's trouble in paradise between the two sides. I also want to say this. If I were the Steelers, I would attempt the trade, TJ Watt. They won't, because they don't have the balls to do it. But if I were Omar Khan, Mike Tomlin, and Art Rooney, I would be getting teams like the Patriots and the Lions and the Bills and whoever else on the phone right now and see what they would offer me for him, because I will say, just to make sure people don't think I'm the ultimate hater, he is a first ballot Hall of Famer, and he'll be in the Steelers Hall of Fame someday, even though he hasn't won a playoff game. But this is a lousy time for TJ Watt to ask to be the highest paid defensive player in the NFL. Even though I do think he's better than Myles Garrett, I don't like Myles Garrett. I also don't like the way TJ Watt plays in big games. What was the joke that someone texted into the morning show today, Donnie?
TJ Watt must have thought today was a playoff game because he didn't show up.
Yes.
I like that.
And that is true.
I like that.
The guy's played in four playoff games. He has one sack. It's not just all on him. But in those four games, the Steelers have given up, on average, 41 points. You'll probably bring up the Branch Rickey, Ralph Kiner thing at some point, Chris, because you love that quote when bringing up either Paul Skeens on the Pirates or, in this case, TJ Watt with the Steelers. He's 30 years old. He feels more mercenary hired gun than he does fabric of the community in Steelers Nation, like Cam Hayward does. I'm over it. I'm not of the opinion right now to want to take up for him and say, give this man his money. He's earned it. He's one of the all-time great Steelers. I don't want to do that, given how the defense has played in big games and how he's played in big games. So if I were running the team, this tactic would not work for me. It would fall on deaf ears. And I'm guessing you feel almost the same exact way.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't really think of it as business as something other than usual, just because like this stuff all blends into me. But you're right. I mean, what he's doing right now isn't quite business as usual. When his brother gets involved, I think you can sort of tell that JJ ghost speaks for TJ sometimes. Maybe TJ will give you the sanitized version of how he feels, and JJ gives you the real deal. But I would have tried to trade him before last season. I just think... I'm annoyed that it's gotten to this point only because Tomlin loves to say, hey, definition of insanity is doing the same thing and expecting a different result. Like, they have handled him the same way they try, I think, to handle most of their quote-unquote great players, and he is a great player. He is a first ballot Hall of Famer. He's the best edge rusher I have seen play for this team by a less wide margin than you'd think. But what have they gotten with him? They've gotten four playoff games he's appeared in with the one sack you mentioned. They haven't won a playoff game with him. They are treating him, though, in Art Rooney's comments that he's made in the past, like he is going to be held separately from the rest of these players. We want him to be a one-helmet guy. Tomlin has talked about him in the past as just visiting from another planet, the kind of praise Tomlin rarely lavishes, like, on only the best player. He only lavishes it on his best players, essentially. And yet they've gotten nothing out of it. And so I was really hopeful that they would, under Omar Khan's stewardship, to whatever degree he got to make final decisions, and this is clearly one that goes above his head, I was hoping, Pony, that they would try to get a little bit cold-blooded and business-oriented and say this is all about the team name on the front of the jersey and the emblem on the side of the helmet and not about the player's name here, and maybe think about trading him for assets that they could use in the draft. And the fact that that never, clearly, because I think the one thing you said that I agree with the most is they will eventually capitulate here. The fact that that hasn't even entered into the conversation for them in this and not even been considered as an option is pretty annoying and frustrating to me because, again, you can love the player all you want. You can have your TJ jersey, home, road, Bumblebee, all of that. You can have a collection of them because he's so fun to watch when he's going well. What have you gotten out of it that you care about as a fan other than watching him get individual highlights? What has he given to the Steelers? He has been their highest paid player, I believe, for all but one, if not all four of those playoff games, correct? Ben was on a discount year the last year.
He wasn't in 2017.
His rookie year. Okay, the last three of the four, thank you. He's been their highest paid player. One sack. I'm not expecting them to have won these games because of him or to have turned a loss into a win in any of those, but to be that much of a no-show in the biggest games of the season, or in that case, the postseason, I think... just means that you can move on. You can try to use him as an asset or look at him as an asset and not some untouchable. And the fact that they're looking at him as an untouchable is frustrating to me.
Garrett got $123.5 million. The belief is he wants $125 or more. And he wants way more guaranteed money than what DK Metcalf got. Jerry Dulac reported that. So this is what we're talking about. He wants to be the highest paid player on the team by far. And he wants to be the richest, highest paid defensive player in the NFL, guaranteed money-wise, at 30 years old. I think if he had been a part of dynastic teams or teams that even came close, Steelers fans would say, not a question. Let's not even debate it. I don't care that he's not at minicamp. Pay him. He's 30. We see edge rushers, many of which play into their mid-30s or late-30s and are still really good. There's a lot of good football left in this guy. Do it. But I don't think they're sending mixed messages here because they made moves in terms of free agency that set them up for next year's draft, but yet they're doing things that are for this year, like bringing in a 41-year-old quarterback. They're trying to do the most difficult thing in sports, which is still be good, but also set themselves up in the future. Our hockey team is doing that, and the Steelers are trying to do the same exact thing, and it very rarely works. Like, they have moved on from the Joey Porters and people like that.
The guys like that.
He's better than both of those guys. But they're also farther away from winning right now than they were with those teams. At least I think so.
They're far away from winning.
I've been deluged since you've been out with people See,
people said the callers were running you over and that you needed me back because you were getting beat up by the callers. I just have a hard time believing that.
Who's they saying this?
I was just getting tweets from randos saying, like, Pony needs you back. He's getting assaulted by these callers.
Well, I was getting assaulted. Because here's the number one thing I learned while you were out over this Aaron Rodgers thing. People can say, at least this is just the interactions that I had on the show. People talk all the time about how losing and getting a big-time quarterback is probably what's best for this team. Mm-hmm. And yet, I've just been, like you said, we were inundated with people saying, actually, this team right now is a chance to contend, win a playoff game, and do even more.
Just like because Rodgers, the guy most of them didn't want, is here now?
Well, not only that, but now all of a sudden, I guess there's this renewed belief in Mike Tomlin that he's going to be able to win.
Well, hold on. Forget about that for a second. I don't share in that. Bucko Dan said, here, because I think this is a relevant question on TJ Watt, here is what I care about. Does moving him make the team better? Now, Bucko Dan says to assume that that just happens automatically, that it does make them better, is naive. It doesn't make them better, but the whole point is, if you move him right now to one of those teams, Pony, does it give you a chance to be a lot better, a lot quicker because of being able to, A, draft a quarterback, and B, still have the draft capital to get more good players
right
early in the draft?
Yeah.
My answer to that is yes, on paper. Like, it's inarguable. If you have, what would you get for him right now? Just spitballing.
I don't know.
Maybe a third, a second.
Second
maybe
is
a
something
second.
Else.
Second, if you have a desperate team like that's in a bidding war, that absolutely, unequivocally gives you a chance, a better chance to get the quarterback you want next year and to get more good players around him, which should be the aim of this team. But again, they're stuck like the Huntington Pirates used to be too. You didn't even name him. I'm just going to try to keep my foot in both buckets here. The contending bucket and the planning for the future bucket. And you end up like that news lady stomping grapes in that winemaking segment. She falls flat on her face and everybody laughs. And that's what's probably going to happen here when they give TJ Watt what he wants, because they always do this. They just gave Aaron Rodgers a bunch of incentives. You want to bet that that Watt's new deal, whenever it actually gets done, will have random performance incentives too? Probably will. This is going to be bad when they give him what he wants, which is what I think is going to happen.
Tony and Kennedy starts us off on TJ Watt. Hello, Tony.
Gentlemen, what's up? It's so hard to listen to you guys, man. It's just negative, negative, negative. You just live in these weird hypotheticals. It's just so boring to listen to. He's the best player on the team. There's nobody better on the team. So what are you going to do? Why don't you just let it play out?
He wasn't their best defensive player last year, let alone the best player on the team.
Yes, he was.
Cam Hayward was an objectively better player than him last year. Yes, he was. Yes, he was.
Well, that's objective. No,
was T.J. Watt a first-team All-Pro last year?
I don't really care because...
Well, that's like that's a pretty objective measurement here. I mean, usually the voters get it right.
People vote on it, Chris. It's not objective.
Okay, so because T.J. Watt had, I guess, more sacks, he's automatically the best player?
No, why are you putting words in my mouth?
Well, what is an objective case for him as the best player?
Why don't you let the people?
What is your objective case? What is your objective case for why he was their best player last year? Because you treated your subjective opinion as an objective fact.
I don't have it. It's all subjective.
Okay, then don't treat it like it's objective unless you want me to respond in kind.
You're the one treating it like it's objective. You're the one treating it like it's objective.
Tony, instead of
what did he call me?
I don't know.
Skin grafts?
That's.
Oh, I thought it was skin graft, not the great Gazoo that was talking. My bad.
Okay. I don't know why we're like being so personal and name calling each other when all we're doing is talking about sports, but that's fine, Tony.
Because you feel like your guys are the general managers and you're not. Why don't you talk about the Pirates? They're on a 4-game win streak. You start with TJ Watt not showing up to camp and act like that's some scary big thing. You know he's done it before, right?
When?
Has he held out of camp?
No.
Yes, he has.
No, he held in.
Oh, right. He sat on the sideline. You're right. It's so much better.
Well, there is a difference. One involves him being there, and one doesn't involve him being there.
What's the difference? And which one's better? And why?
All right, Tony, thank you. Is that the same guy? Yeah.
I mean, he says the show is boring. He was doing his best to try to make it not boring.
Yeah. Well, he's also giving us advice on what to talk about. That's all right.
Yet he still listens, though.
Yeah.
to every single syllable and half syllable.
That's a useful idiot, though. I like that. For my purposes, at least.
Tony always has his spot. I knew it was him the moment he called.
Yeah, I want him to call back. The useful idiot part is part of the game here. I want to entice him to call back even angrier next time. That's kind of my specialty.
I mean, I don't really get the skin graft thing.
Because you said that, didn't they have to take a piece of skin from inside of your cheek for your penis surgery?
Yeah, so now we're making jokes about me having a urethroplasty on the air. That's
what I'll
do. But again,
I'll point out,
here,
the guy who allegedly hates the show knows exactly where they took skin from your body to fix your penis. We really took a journey here.
What's Tony got next time he calls in? He's going to make fun of any dead relatives that we have? Is that going to be his next gambit?
Donnie, does he have anything he can make fun of about you?
Well, let's see. I got four dead grandparents he could
you
go
went to
at.
School in Westmoreland County?
Yeah, so next time, I can't spell or write.
He going to call you like a dumb hayseed or something like that?
You know, he's handling his business. He's doing his thing. And we've touched base a few times this summer, but it's not about the football stuff. I'm just seeing how he's doing, how his family's doing, new baby, all that good stuff. So, you know, when TJ shows up, he'll be ready to go.
Terrell Austin on TJ Watt, who is holding out. He's unhappy with the state of contract negotiations with the Steelers. It's a leverage negotiating ploy. Do you want the Steelers to make him the highest paid defensive player in the NFL again? 412-928-9370. That's 412-928-9370. My preference would have been to trade him. They won't. I think they'll just re-sign him. I think the next best thing would be to just let his contract play out, but they won't do that either. So I think they'll probably make the worst decision. So if Tony thinks that's negative, I guess putting it that way is. So.
Well, just when did they become, I guess, the franchise that is just going to... It's actually on brand for them, now as I say that out loud. They do it their way. They think TJ Watt is a player whose caliber dictates that he be treated a certain way. He doesn't act up off the field, and so they're going to give him, I think, pretty much everything that he wants. It's going to be a more player-friendly deal. He's acting differently this time. You can just very simply say it because he's not a guy with time on his side. This is his last big swing at a deal, and I think they're going to give him what he wants and capitulate. I think, like, too, the idea that we're somehow being mean or negative about this is ridiculous. There are obvious football reasons to be very wary of a contract for this player. Coming off his worst season, you said that edge rushers can age very gracefully into their 30s.
Yep.
Some of them also fall off a cliff. That is the nature of the beast at pretty much every position.
You're also not being negative if you think it's in the team's best interest because you believe it's going to beget winning by trading him.
I think it stacks cards in your deck. That's trying to find the positives. Yes.
And making a move because the hope is, the end goal is for them to win a playoff game again, which they haven't done since 2016 with Watt, by the way.
I think Lenoris Sellers, if he were to come out next year, he is the guy that I have identified as my personal
pick. I predicted you were
going to
say that today when we talked about him yesterday.
That's wonderful. A lottery ticket. An athletic specimen, a guy who just, it's hard to read really bad things about him as a prospect. If he were their next quarterback, I would have very high hopes for the next 10 years of Steelers football. Trading TJ Watt would help you get closer to the goal of having the draft capital to move up, if it became possible to do so, to go and get that guy.
Here's the winner of our PM Team Best Caller Tournament in 2025, Anthony in Oakland. Hello, Anthony.
Thank you, gentlemen. Listen, I'm less disturbed than you guys are about the TJ Watt situation.
Well, no one said disturbed, but you can continue.
Well, the callers sounded like you guys were disturbed. Look, the problem I have is, as JJ Watt said, the Steelers should have looked at this thing last year before those two players who were of his caliber were going to get big raises. If they would have done this last year, you're talking about maybe in a $35 million range instead of in the $41 million range. So that was a mistake they made. Now they got to live with it. And he's a one helmet guy. With what they did in college by getting some reinforcements, they won't put such stress on him and start moving him around. Be a little more innovating than having him at that one spot too.
I have a question about what you're saying right now, like the ways they might utilize him. If what he wants is market setting money for his position,
that is what he wants.
Right.
Yes.
And what you're saying is they're going to do some things to help him, keep him fresher, i.e. fewer plays for him because they have more capable backups, and then move him around the formation. Some of those things, even if they're good ideas, suggest that he just physically is not the same player that he was even 2 or 3 years ago. And then to me, it's like, all right, well, if you're going to help this guy out in different ways that you didn't feel you had to before, is he really worth paying top of the market money to? I would argue no.
I would have traded him also, but that's not what they're going to do. And they made this mistake. They made. Let's be very
I know,
clear.
It's another. It's like another riff, though, on the same old Steelers song. Like, they act and conduct themselves in a very frustrating and predictable way.
If the whole point is to win in the playoffs because you haven't done so in almost a decade, it does not make sense to give somebody over $40 million a year who literally shrinks in those situations. And that's what he does. If people are going to say about quarterbacks coming to the Steelers, well, why would we want, I don't know, Kirk Cousins because he doesn't play well in the playoffs? He turns into a pumpkin. Mm-hmm. Why are now people, not that there's been many, there's been one guy who's called in and decided to rip apart everything we do as a radio station. Why would you then want to give record-breaking money to somebody who turns into like not even a shell of themselves in big games?
I can tell you.
He's got one touchdown because he picked up a ball that was on the turf and was able to run scot-free to the end zone. That's his biggest playoff moment. You could have done that, Chris.
I would have gotten caught, I think. Although I was hustling to get that ball from going out onto 19 when we were playing hoops.
Yes,
at the
you
fire
were very
alarm.
Close to getting run over there.
I was 7 or 8 feet from the road, and everyone was very impressed with my closing speed. Why doesn't he get ripped, though, like that, like we would rip Cousins? Very simple. It's double. I think it's probably a fair double standard, too, so it's not even a double standard. Defensive players, no matter how good individually, are never going to be held to the same standard as a quarterback.
That's right.
Because there is no defensive
player. But when you're making close to quarterback money, you should.
Well, you should be held to whatever the highest possible realistic standard a defensive player should be held to, which I agree he's not held to in this town.
If you're the team's highest paid player, you should be the team's best player in big games, and he's not even close. To me, that's an inarguable point. If you're paying somebody by far to be you're paying somebody by leaps and bounds more than anybody else. You're telling everyone that you think this guy is your best player and most important player.
And you
player.
Expect him to do more than that.
And he had zeros.
No, I know.
He didn't register. He didn't make a play.
Who was
in the Baltimore playoff game?
Was it Rosengarten just shut him down? Ah, yes. Anytime,
0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0.
Anytime you run into Roger Rosengarten, it's a problem. He had the Tony Snell line. Real quick, by the way, Pony, programming note. I always throw out the YouTube link for the live stream of the show, which theoretically you could probably put on your car and just leave your phone open if you usually listen through the app, Donnie. Apparently we've had some app issues that I'm alerting Craig Riley about now publicly. Listen to it on YouTube if you can. You'll see quite the whack pack of people telling us we stink.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Tomorrow, listen to Pomp and Joe for Starkey's Card of the Week every Wednesday at noon from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. Contest runs Wednesday through Friday at noon on the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. It is time for an Oakmont Minute. The U.S. Open returns to Oakmont Country Club on Thursday. My wife is there for the practice rounds today. Many are as well. Looking like it's going to be the ultimate test of golf, which is what people like Malzy pay to see. They want to see these guys brought to their knees by Oakmont Country Club. Rory McIlroy playing there today saying he needed to birdie 17 and 18 to shoot an 81. Now, he sucked at the Canadian Open, so it might just be that his game is completely out of whack going into
this. He had to get
this.
The new driver because the face on his became too hot and the tour randomly tests, and he got very bent out of shape about that at the PGA. And he apparently cannot find—it's like an old reliable. Once they took the old driver head out of play and made him try a new one, he can't get the ball in the fairway.
Is he off Mulsey's board?
I think there's a better chance Rory misses the cut than wins the tournament.
Better chance Matt Vogt makes the cut than Rory McIlroy?
No, but I would love to see it just because of the story.
The tee times are out for Thursday. And what do you know? Pittsburgh's Matt Vogt, who's now... What happened to the music? Thank you, Donnie. Who's now in Indianapolis as a dentist. He will be in the first group teeing off at 6:45 a.m. with two other guys who I'm guessing
they're just
qualified.
Guys.
Kevin Velo and Trent Phillips.
These are in order, though, of how he's supposed to tee off, I believe. He will fire the first shot of the U.S. Open.
Well, what if the guy who's starting on 10 hits the ball before
him? I think
him?
The whole point is the guy on one starts first, technically. The USGA does this. They want this to be this way. They want the good story. They try to go for kind of like the dramatic pairing like this, so that's why he's doing that. He'll definitely be the first person to hit a shot.
Other notable groups for people who are going out Thursday to watch. 7-18, hole one, Harris English, Tommy Fleetwood, Keegan Bradley.
Yeah, Tommy ain't winning this.
He's never won on American soil.
Harris English flushes the ball, though. You want to watch a guy just hit the crap out of the ball? Harris English does that.
7-18 at 10, the man who will win this year's U.S. Open, the 125th, from Sweden, Ludvig Åberg.
Man, I would love for you
to be right. A lock to win. Get to FanDuel and bet him now at 28-1.
Why are you doing this to me?
Oh, my. Åberg will win it.
Why are you doing this to me?
Why?
I actually would like him to win for the fantasy
goal. Yes, he will.
But you're a jinx.
Oh, boy. Åberg has done it.
That was Oberto's thing with Stephen A. Smith. Åberg's
playing with Adam Scott and Hideki Matsuyama. 7-18. I want to watch my man Åberg go out and shoot a 63 to tie Johnny Miller's
record.
Here's
what Oberg's going to do. He's going to play like the front nine 2-under.
Yeah.
And he's going to have like three pars. And then inexplicably on the 14th, a relatively straightforward hole, he's going to make like an 8.
Is that because you birdied that hole and you want to make it seem like you did better than him?
No, I don't. I want to say that because he's inexplicably been making like one quad per tournament.
Well,
and that's
not
at regular
do it
courses.
Here because I plan on getting there early enough to watch all
18. Let me tell you something else about who's not winning from that group. Hideki Matsuyama, take him off your board.
I don't think anyone had him on the board.
He's a former major winner, Pony. He hits the crap out of the ball too, but he cannot putt.
There's a lot of former major winners in this field.
Who, by the way, did Pomp pick for this?
Don?
Oh, now I can't think of the guy's name. Lucas Glover.
Not gonna win it.
I wanted to say Danny Glover.
Not gonna win it. He is too old for this bleep. And he can't putt. He's got the broomstick. Theme here. Like, even among tour pros, hits the absolute bejesus out of the ball. Cannot putt it.
Pomp doesn't seem to like Scotty's chances.
Pomp has got to be going contrarian there. Because Scotty is like, this is as confident as I have been that somebody was going to win a major since like Tiger in his prime.
125 is when Scheffler tees off playing with Hovland and Morikawa. Two more Pomp favorites.
Yeah,
That's the Pomp group right Hovland's, there. He loves Hovland and
Hovland's
Morikawa.
Short game is kind of a mess right now. Morikawa, if he's hitting the fairway, can win this tournament because he's a great iron player, but he's been kind of off. By the way, if you're going on Friday, the Scheffler group may be a little bit, let's see here.
You're already jumping ahead to Friday. I'm not even done with Thursday groups here, Malzi.
Well, I'm just saying for the Friday people, go there in the morning if you want to see Scotty. But yes.
Why is that?
Because they flip the tee
times.
Well,
yeah. But why are we already getting ahead of ourselves?
We're not. I am, but we're not. I'll go back.
Two more groups of note. Okay. DeChambeau is teeing off at 7:29 with Xander Schauffele, who won two majors last year. I don't know.
He
I do not know who
right
Jose
now.
Luis Ballester is.
Ballester, I don't even know how he says it. He went to live. He won the U.S. Amateur.
Okay.
Reigning U.S. Amateur champ.
And then seven.
He's the guy who peed in Ray's Creek at the Masters.
Ah, okay. Now I remember that. And then 7:40 starting on hole 10, Shane Lowry, Justin Rose, and Rory McIlroy. So those are the big. Oh, 1:14 p.m. on 10, Jordan Spieth, Jon Rahm, and Dustin Johnson.
Man, Rahm
should
be.
Those are the big featured groups on Thursday.
I'm trying to think if there's anybody else on Thursday that would be worth. Would be worth people's time.
But I suggested going over to watch all of Oberg's round. So I don't know how to do it yet. I'm thinking about parking at Craig's house and having him personally shuttle me.
Chauffeur you.
Over to Oakmont. How long do you think it'll take him to play?
4 hours, 15 minutes.
Oh, so then I can be, you if got tease off at 7:20, I can be at Oakmont Bakery where we'll be broadcasting in plenty of time.
Yeah. I got, to host the show. I got one other group, I think, that's just going to be low-key interesting, and it's right after the Hovland group. Corey Connors hits a lot of fairways. Jason Day has the game. And then Patrick Reed. You want to talk about a guy in Patrick Reed who is like the dirtiest player, the Ric Flair of professional golf.
Because he cheats?
He does, literally.
Yeah.
He got kicked off his college team. He has possibly cheated in the pros. You want to have an eagle eye and be like an amateur rules official? That's an interesting group to follow.
Well, can you actually tattletale on these guys if you watch them do something?
I think it's hard to do in person because your sight lines aren't that good.
So it's but people watching on TV.
There are absolutely TV tattlers who have gotten penalty strokes.
Tiger's gotten busted doing that.
Dude, the last
before.
Time the Open was here, the USGA hemmed and hawed about whether they'd give Dustin Johnson a one-shot penalty, and he had it hanging over his head. His 18th
hole. And honestly, I thought cast a pall over the whole tournament.
His 18th hole is truly one of the great golf holes in history. He had no idea at that point because they kept it from him, their decision, what he needed to win. Flushes a drive, 6-iron to 4 feet, thinks he might need the putt anyway, and pours it in the heart. One of the greatest holes ever played.
I mean, Ernie Els benefited in 94 because they moved a crane that they weren't, or they didn't move the crane. So he got to move his ball. How about that, Donnie? There was a crane controversy.
That sounds like it inspired the final scene of Happy Gilmore.
He said that crane's in the way.
Temporary
and the rules official said,
obstruction.
You're right.
Oh, yeah.
But then somebody came in and said, you got the rules violation wrong. They could have moved the crane. The crane should have moved and the ball should have stood where it was.
Donnie, can you tell me, that ended in a playoff that year. It was a one-day playoff.
He's not going to get
can
this.
Can you tell me what hole that U.S. Open in 94 ended on? It was not 18. You got 17 other chances
What's
to guess.
What's next? Can you guess what brand 11. Of underwear I'm wearing today?
Do you know, Pony, are you aware? You're aware because you're a psycho and you read everything. I wonder how many people are aware that they've had now for 7 years since 2018. It will not be, if it's tied after four rounds, it will not be the classic one-day playoff.
Like
they
it
got
was
rid
with
of
Rocco
that.
And Tiger.
They got rid of that in 2018. It'll be a two-hole aggregate. Interesting little note for people that are more casual fans. It's going to be Scotty, by the way. He's only plus 280. He's
I don't know why
win.
Everyone's convinced, like Pomp is, that the scores are going to suck. Going back to 94, it was like 100 degrees all 4 days, and they shot great. So,
well, the one-day playoff, they did not. I think Els won it with like a 73 or a 74.
Yeah, but Els was 7-under after four rounds.
No, I know. But like,
and they didn't have any rain on the course. It was record-breaking highs. No rain at all.
I think this year, I think if there's going to be a round that's really difficult to par, it's probably Friday or Saturday because I just don't think they're going to make it through Saturday and Sunday rain-free.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North convenience stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores, fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
but not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.